Good. Well, welcome here this morning. Welcome here to Breakthrough City Church. Welcome those who are online. Welcome to all those people enjoying their time down at the coast there. I'm thinking of you. Greetings to Corny and all those loved ones down there. And those people in Lesotho and Vriesburg and the people in Switzerland as well. Greetings to you. And we're excited to see what God's doing in that nation. We'll be seeing you shortly. This morning, I want to just share a word on that, which is, I'm actually going to, I will not finish this word today, so I possibly would have to carry, just continue next week with it. So let's see how far we get. I don't want to miss some main points here and that, but what I wanted to share about this morning is something which is also so relevant for the time and the season we are in. Just regarding, there is part of a prophetic word that we will share that came just before this live broadcast that we'll try to get out to you folks as well about just right now what God is doing in the season we are in. So that's just something else, but it also relates to part of the word that I'm sharing here this morning. So this morning and possibly next week, let's see how far I get, but what I do want to do is to share with you about what does the kingdom look like? What does the kingdom of God look like in regard to authority and power? Authority and power. What does the kingdom of God look like in regard to authority? What does it mean to have authority? What does it mean to have power? It's important for us as believers to understand that. It is important for us as a church to understand that. So, firstly, I want to just give a little bit of an intro on that before I get going further. So, firstly, I want to just say is that going to heaven does not fulfill God's will. All right. I know, got you some of your attention. So going to heaven does not fulfill God's will. Dominating God's earth fulfills God's will for you and me. Adam and Eve was put in the garden to rule, to reign, to have dominion. So, meaning that we need to reign on earth. So going to heaven, that was never just God's will. That plays a part. But there's something about the church, especially in the times that we're living in right now. There's so much, I've said, warmongering and beating of the drums of war, and there's political tensions and a lot of things happening. That's fine. We are living in the last days. It's been the last 2,000 years like that, so we're in the last days. It's not something unusual. It's just that we have media which broadcasts a lot of things, which influences a lot of people. But God is wanting us to actually hear from and see from His perspective. But what God intended from the start, He has not changed. The mandate and the assignment for the church of God has not changed. It is still that what was given to Adam and Eve. And why I say that is important for you and me as individuals. So, religion is actually what prepares man to leave earth. Religion prepares man to leave earth. But the kingdom equips man to rule on earth. My toenails were turning round and my hair, that what I have was shooting up, standing up, where I recently heard someone sharing stuff about, you know, especially with what happened in America recently and the eclipse, and suddenly it's almost like doomsday things, messages come in, and it has the hope has been lost in the message of the kingdom. And I really believe that in the midst of the storms and the trials we go through, we have to still have the message of hope. It's so important, else we actually lose the perspective of what God intended. So again, what I'm saying is that the kingdom equips us to rule on earth. Religion prepares man to leave earth. We have an assignment here. I said this thing, I think it was last week, that a lot of people, Christians, that are actually longing, they think their salvation is when they die to go to heaven. Their salvation is in the grave. And that is not the truth. That is a lie. And I really believe there's some things that need to be set straight in the body of Christ about why we're on earth, the reason for it, and that there's enough grace that is here for us to accomplish and to fulfill what the church has been put on planet earth for. All right, so the kingdom, what does the kingdom of God do? The kingdom of God, the focus is on occupation. We are to occupy earth, to rule and to reign with Jesus Christ on this earth. This earth belongs to him. It's the footstool of the Lord. So firstly, our focus is occupation. What does religion do? Religion focuses on evacuation. And then people say they've written these books and they've sold millions. And I was shocked just listening to someone the other day. And it's sad. Very well-known people. And they've sold so many books in that. And that concerns me because it means people buying the books have actually lost hope and they're looking in their redemption for an evacuation instead of a completion of an assignment which we have sufficient grace to complete on planet Earth. That was given to Adam and Eve to do is still the assignment and the mandate for planet Earth. So religion focuses on evacuation, and that is actually why the religious church is so rapture orientated, because it does not have actually the anointing for kingdom impact. So I'd rather want to leave because we have grace to impact planet Earth for the kingdom. All right, you still here? So we are not here to focus to go to heaven. I'm telling you, we are not here to focus to go to heaven. We are here to invade our city. We are here to invade our towns, our villages. We are here to invade this nation. We are here to invade the nations. That's why the church is here. We are here to invade the business place. We're here to invade the schools, the education systems, the media platforms, the governments. That is what the kingdom does. It takes over. It has an influence as we serve, just like Joseph did, just like Daniel did. We bring about transformation. So God says, what does he say? Go into all the world. In Matthew 4, verse 17, he's basically, Jesus, it was his first public statement that he makes. And it says, from that time forward, Jesus began to preach what? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm going to just change the word a bit there. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, it says there, is at hand. But Jesus was pretty much standing in front of them. Just imagine this now. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has returned. He was standing there. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was saying, repent, for the kingdom has returned. And he's standing in front of them. Not there, on earth. Repent, change the way you think, for the kingdom of heaven is here. He's returned. He's standing in front of them. In Luke 4, verse 43, it says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns, to other cities. And why? because that is why I was sent. But that is pretty much what he's saying. He says, I need to preach the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because to the towns, the villages and that. Because that's why he was sent. So, the cross, listen to me. The cross was not the goal of his coming. The cross was not the goal of Jesus' coming. It was a means to an end. Understand this. The cross, it wasn't just because a lot of us look at the cross and a lot of us don't look at the finished work that he did on the cross. Do you understand? A lot of us have got stuck there. But there's a completed work that Jesus did. And there's something that he wants us to continue with. So the cross was not the goal. It was the means to what he wanted to bring forth through it. There's something that Jesus wants to bring through the work of the cross. Are you with me here still this morning? All right. So, Jesus said, because of the kingdom message, that is why I was sent. It is a kingdom message. And in the kingdom is salvation, is healing, is deliverance. There's a kingdom message he brought. In Luke chapter 9 verse 2, he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God is where? Here. And then he says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. The kingdom of God is where? Here. So, what is actually then the ultimate desire of Jesus? What is the ultimate desire of Jesus? Matthew 6, verse 9. We know this well. And I'm going to just change words a bit just to explain. So, in Matthew 6, verse 9, Jesus, he says, our Father, who is not on earth, but where is he? He is in heaven. And Jesus says, holy is his name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. How? Just like it is in heaven. So, don't pray to leave. Pray for heaven to come to earth. So, a lot of Christians, what I find in the season and the time we're living in, is that Christians are praying to leave earth. And yet, it was never the purpose. That is the religious mindset. Religion says, pray to go to heaven. The kingdom says, pray for heaven to come to earth. All right, you still here? You haven't left yet. That was just the intro. All right, the reason why I'm doing that is, again, if we don't understand this, we will misunderstand what I want to share about power and authority. If it was the message, I remember I said Jesus never preached the message of salvation, he preached the message of the kingdom. In the kingdom is salvation, yes. So it was more than just of salvation. It was more than just getting saved, going to heaven. That is not the blueprint of the New Testament teachings or the church. So this we have to rectify because we are not on Jesus is not coming on a rescue mission. That is why it's so important for believers in local churches to be discipled, to be equipped, to be trained. If you are not being discipled, equipped, and trained, you will look for an escape plan. And God says, listen, I'm giving you everything. I've given you my life. I've given you grace to finish what you need to finish. And a lot of Christians haven't accessed that. And that's why for many Christians, there's a battle that never ends. Because how can a message be written, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, and you know, someone sitting in jail writing it. You understand? So there is something the church needs to get back. Yes, there's going to be tough times. It's going to be there. So the storms are going to be there. There's going to be lack. There's going to be abundance. That is what happened to even the apostles that we see in the Bible. But there needs to be a clarity on understanding why the church is here. So why then is it that we need power and authority if we want to just go to heaven? And if you realize what I've just said, why must we have authority and power then? So in Luke chapter 9, you can turn with me. We'll read a bit from Luke, the book of Luke. So Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, and verse 6. Let me just read you. It says, then he called his 12 disciples together. You got it there? You all there? All right. So, Luke 9. Let me also turn to the right chapter. All right. Luke 9, verse 1 and 2. And verse 6. Then he called his 12 disciples together. And he gave them what? Power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. Verse 2, he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Okay, so authority and power was for a reason. And then he says, go. Verse 6, so they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So Jesus came to earth with what? He came to earth with authority. Why? Because the Father sent him to do what? To destroy the works of the devil. You can't destroy something without the authority. You can't go unless you were sent. This is one of the biggest things I see presently on planet Earth. People go and they've never been sent. So they don't have authority. We're in a fellowship. We just check online and we just sit somewhere and we're hiding in the caves and we're eating baked beans because Jesus is coming. Do you understand how foolish it is that we have authority and power and we're hiding away from the world? So there's a difference between authority and power. There is a difference. Authority. How does authority come? Authority comes in the commission. Authority comes in the commission. You can't have authority. For example, if you're a traffic officer, you can't go in your plain clothes and say, I'm a traffic officer. You represent your commissioning to do that. So when you go in your uniform, you've been commissioned. Firstly, you wouldn't have got the uniform otherwise. And you'd be commissioned to do something. Therefore, you have the authority to do it. So you have authority because of your commission. All right? So we have been commissioned by who? We've been commissioned by the Lord. But the authority that we actually walk in is dependent on how we've embraced the commission. Depending on, as a local church, on those churches out there that we're walking with, depending how you've embraced that what you've been called to do, the commission, will determine your authority you have. There's a thing I'm going to link it with, a second thing regarding authority. We'll find that in Matthew, I think it's Matthew 8. I think about, let's go there as well. Let's just keep your hand there. Let me just check here. I think it's around Matthew 8. Yeah, you can have a look at Matthew 8. All right. I'm going to read a scripture now in Matthew 8. But I just want to finish this point here about. So you can only be commissioned as you yield to the primary mission. I say again, you can only be commissioned as you yield to the primary mission. So the commission of the Lord is actually what releases authority. So in other words, God has given us assignment. He's given us a commissioning to impact this church, the region, the nation, other nations. That's the commission he's given to us as a church, ascending church, an apostolic base. That's what he's wanting us to do in other regions as well. There's a commission. Therefore, there's an authority. The authority has nothing to do with the amount of people you have in your church. That's democracy. Democracy, the most votes determines who's in charge, who does what. We don't work with the spirit of democracy, we work with theocracy. What God says stands. Okay, so that is how it works. The second thing, what I want to say with a commission, so generally now we've been commissioned as local churches, we have an assignment, we have authority to do what we need to do. I mean, you can't go stop a 16 or 18 or 20,000 ton truck standing in the road and say, stop. In South Africa, we all know that's a hijacking. But other countries, if you're in a traffic uniform, pretty much you're going to stop. Why? Because the person in the uniform has been commissioned with the authority to stop that thousands of tons truck. Right. So that's the commissioning, the authority is there. But also connected to the mission or the commission is the following. And this is what a lot of people don't understand. In Matthew 8, we see and read the story of the centurion that comes to Jesus. And in I'm just going to give you the verse. It says here in verse 5. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him. There's a high-ranking army or soldier. Saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. It's interesting. Jesus said, I'll come heal. Jesus knows what he's going to say. You do understand that. Things are put in the Bible that because sometimes what Jesus says makes us think or question actually something. So, yeah, he says, I will come and heal him. And the verse 8 says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also, verse 9, for I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 10 says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, it carries on. The point is this, what he says here. Then Jesus said to the centurion, verse 13, go your way. As you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Now, this I want to say this. He was not a Jew. This is a heathen, soldier. He understood something that Israel didn't understand. And that this is what he understood, and this is what you need to understand. Authority comes with what we be given the assignment to do. We've been commissioned to do something. So if it is going to the nations, whatever, there's an authority that all of us we have here as a local church. with it, and this is so important, is that if you are not under authority, you cannot have authority. So we've had it in the past over the years. Maybe sometimes these people listening, that's fine, we bless them. But understand this, there's people that many times in any church that have actually pretty much left, they want to do their own ministry, they want to do this, and they go. And we bless them. But there's a difference between blessed and released and being sent. Because when you actually sent, you go under that authority to do. So some people go and they want to do their thing and they huff and they puff and they hype and they whatever. But they don't have the authority because they are not under authority. So authority comes with a commission. As the church, the body of Christ, there's a commissioning to go into all the world. Not all of us are doing it. So there's a commission. We have authority with a commission. God's going to tell you do this and he doesn't give you authority. It's like, again, the traffic officer, you have to have the authority to implement what you have to do. I mean, it's crazy not to have authority. So that's why we have authority. But secondly, you need to be under authority to have authority. And there's many Christians I don't understand. Many. People just do their own thing. They have the little gathering at their house and they do this and they do that. But if you're not under authority, you don't have authority. That is the New Testament church blueprint I'm speaking about. All right, I'm glad we cleared that one. So, just continuing. So, here's the 12 disciples that Jesus commissioned. And they come under, this is interesting. So, here's the 12 disciples. Remember, the Holy Spirit hadn't been poured out yet. I don't know if you've read it or seen it like this. But these 12 disciples come under the actual umbrella of Jesus's own mission and his own encounter with the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 3, let me read here. In Luke 3, if you want to turn in, Luke 3, verse 21 and 22. Luke 3, verse 21 and 22. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. All right, then in Luke 4 verse 1 it says, following Luke 4 verse 1 it says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Okay, so what happens here? Here we see what Jesus had was, first, is he had authority because he was commissioned. Secondly, what did he have here? Power. So authority and power is essential for any ministry. When I speak about ministry, please, you know that all of us are called to the ministry. Everyone. If you're in business, even education, government, media, whatever, we're all called to ministry. So with that, there's authority we need. So we need to understand how it works from the local church. You're not just, I'm saved, therefore I'm part of the body. You need to understand the church was birthed. It's not just some free-floating thing. That's some ho-ho floating around there. No, we're the local. There's local churches. That's the pattern in the New Testament. So here we have power and authority, which is essential for ministry. So what Jesus released over the 12 was not only for the 12. So authority and power was released over the 12 apostles, okay? But it was not only, because some people say, no, it's just for them. That's not what the word says. Because if you have a look in Matthew 28, we know this, where Jesus gives the commission to his disciples, what does he say? He tells them, go teach others what I've taught you. So what they were supposed to do is to do exactly what they were taught. So it wasn't just for them. He says, go do exactly what I taught you. Go teach them. So the 12 disciples, what did they do? They imparted into those that they discipled. That's the whole thing. You equip and train. People need to do it better than what you can. That's the whole thing. That's why Jesus said, you'll do greater works in my name. Why? Because I'm going away. You'll do greater works than what Jesus did, you and me. So he imparted that was always the heart of what Jesus wanted to do. All right, so here we have Jesus, and Jesus is this prototype. He's our older brother, but he's the pattern son. He set a pattern for us. He's the prototype for the normal Christian life. That what Jesus did is what you and I must be doing daily. Not some people, you know, who are getting a salary and paid in a church, the pastors and the demons, I mean the deacons and all the people. No. All of us are involved in this. Don't be deceived. All of us, we're the body of Christ. There's not a few frozen, chosen people to do this. All of us are involved in this. That's why our young children are healing the sick. That's why older people on mission trips wherever in the world. Why? Because all of us are involved in this thing. We're in this thing together. All right, so Jesus is the prototype of a normal Christian life. And the resurrection power was to actually flow in and through every believer. We spoke about this the other day. The part of being born again, it was the same spirit that raised Jesus from the grave. That's the resurrection power that now lives in us, right? So the disciples, what happened? They were brought alongside Jesus in the commission. They were brought alongside. Then Jesus gave them power because they hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. So they came under this covering of what Jesus was doing. So they hadn't, and Jesus gives them power because there's no record anywhere yet of the disciples having an encounter with the Holy Spirit until Acts chapter 2. So they hadn't received the empowering of the Holy Spirit like in Acts chapter 2. They actually came under that umbrella of what Jesus was carrying. So the disciples, what they did is they initially walked under this umbrella of Jesus, of his own experience. And how do we know this? Because when he died, he told the disciples, now you get your own power and authority. That's what he said. Now you go get your own power and authority. Matthew 28 says, gives the disciples the great commission. So Matthew 28, he goes and he shares there and he says, therefore go. And he gives the great commission that we always read about. What happens? Authority comes in the commission. Power comes in the encounter. There's Christians that have received commission authority, but they don't know the power yet because you haven't encountered Holy Spirit. So it does not just help us to have a commission and no power. You realize that. Jesus instructed his own disciples to do what? To stay in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high. And I want to say to you, if you see there's a lack of power with certain things that whatever, then that's the invitation to be empowered by God, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So these people I pray for, these people that you pray for, and some people don't get healed. These other people we do pray for, they do get healed. When it doesn't happen, then it's like, it's not, Lord, why don't you want to heal? It's like, I need to press in you. I need to press in with the Lord. I want to see this power working through my life. All right, so yeah, in John's gospel, when Jesus was water baptized, we read about that the heavens opened. Now that word is actually violently opened. When the heavens opened, it means violently opened, and the Holy Spirit comes down and rests on Jesus. So remember, Jesus was the prototype of the normal Christian. All right. So in Isaiah 66 verse 2, it says the same reference, the same word is used. Isaiah 66 verse 2. It says, this was an answered prayer, basically what Isaiah had prayed. Isaiah said the following in Isaiah 66. It says, rend the heavens and come down, meaning tear it open violently. This is the fulfillment when Holy Spirit came on Jesus. So we see he was empowered at this stage in that. In my own life in that, there was a few times in that where similar things happened, encounters with the Lord. Even my baptism in the Holy Spirit, I actually was just in a small little, like almost like a cell group. I was saved just a couple of weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. And I knew nothing about anything, but I was hungry for God. That's a big key to receive from God, is hunger. I was desperately hungry for God. And as I was sitting, some of you heard the story, but I was sitting on a hard chair. And, it's this informal little gathering of people there. And there was a little kid of about 3 or 4 years old crawling on the ground. And this kid was crawling by our legs, and then it was in this big lounge area, and it was crowded. And then next minute, this little kid was just made a noise. But again, that what they were sharing was something, I can't remember what they were sharing, facilitating there. But the next minute, I was baptized by the Holy Spirit, and there was a sound the kid made. There was a sound the kid made while I was crawling, and all I can explain my experience was when someone did this. I heard that sound blow into my ear, literally like that. And the next minute, there was this like, I can say, river and bubbling that took place inside that just started to burst from my innermost being. And I was baptized in Holy Spirit. I experienced the power of God just touch me just like that. The key was I was hungry for that. Many people I've know also have encountered Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father in the same way. It's because of hunger. And I say that's a key for you. If you want to receive power, it is a hunger. And it is the most unexpected times sometimes that happens. There was a kid who just made a noise, and it was like someone blew in my ear, literally the sound I made now, that blew in my ear, and the next minute I felt this rushing of the Spirit of God. Just touched me, hit me there, right there. So there's an empowering that God wants to give us. So God wants us to grow in this. So most things in the kingdom grow with proper use. If you don't use things properly in the kingdom, it doesn't grow. So it's the same with stewarding finances. If you don't steward finances rightly, it doesn't multiply. You need to use things properly in the kingdom. It's the same as when it comes to anointing. If you're not using the anointing correctly, you're not stewarding correctly, there's not growth with the anointing. Yeah, we're hearing testimonies, people healing people, whatever. There's anointing growing in that. Sometimes people struggle and you've not seen anything and suddenly a breakthrough happens. That's your breakthrough. You're faithful, you're a steward in that. So Jesus goes and he illustrated what it would look like for a person who was empowered by the Holy Spirit to actually be a planet changer. Because he was commissioned, he was empowered, and yeah, he sets example. This is actually what it will look like. So if you understand this, then whatever you are aware of, you will release. Whatever you become aware of the Holy Spirit doing certain things, you will start to release. Some of us are so dead dry, like it's like, By God's grace, he honors his word, even sometimes praying for people. But when you start becoming aware of his presence, wherever you are, that is what you start to release. If you are critical and negative, that is what you release. That what you're most aware of is what you release. If you are, I'm telling you, this is a thing I see. Many, many Christians are carrying anxiety and fear. And so when they walk into a place or go somewhere, that is what they actually release. The thing that you're most aware of is what you will release. So if you wonder why things aren't changing around you, maybe you should stop looking around you. Start looking, all right, put that hand and the finger here and say, Lord, what must change here? What am I, where is this what I'm releasing? Is this what I'm carrying? Who knows that if you walk into the room, it's like not happened to you, it's only me. But you walk into a room, it's the office. Or it might be a shop. You may be doing groceries. It might be in the office. It might be at school. And you walk in there and you feel the anxiety and stuff. And someone's sitting there. That's the atmosphere that's been created. So what you're most aware of is what you will release. The shadow of a fear-filled person will not heal someone. Remember the shadow that was on the apostles when they walked, their shadow fell and healed them. Whatever overshadows you will affect those around you. So we know something is released from us according to what's going on in us. So whatever overshadows you will be released through you. You see, we've been given more than an assignment to just put the gospel into words. Do you understand that a lot of people take the gospel and they just put it into words? And you hear it on a Sunday or whenever. Or even people that you might know, they take the gospel and they speak the gospel in words. But there's authority and power. There's the effect of this word that must happen around us. So we have the privilege to do what? We have the privilege to actually host the person into this earthly environment. We actually host the Holy Spirit into this earthly environment, your workplace, your family. You know, let me say this right. Okay, let me give you an example. For those online, just to understand, so we have certain encounter nights where we come together. And actually someone just recently was just telling me, they said, you know, we've seen this, that even the places when we go to a certain house or, you know, we go to the houses and that, we actually know when we even come there, we know the people and what they carry because we the atmosphere is already hanging with that. Who's experienced that? You go to, okay, this is because the presence of God is just there. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like you go to an office or workplace and you feel this morbid stuff. That's the atmosphere. But you and I as Christians, when we carry something, we step into the place. That's why I say, why would Jesus come and take the church, remove it from the world? What would happen to the world? Because we are the light of the world. Then there's no light. We need to understand our assignment and why we're here. We're here to change this place to make it look like that place on earth as it is in heaven. So a yielded vessel is a manifestation of the kingdom. If you're yielded, you're a manifestation of the kingdom of God, wherever you are. In John 6, Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. It's not just letter. A lot of people quote letter. But when the spirit is on the letter, there's life. Right? So John 1 says, Jesus is the word of God made flesh. All right? Now when when he speaks, what happens? When Jesus, he's the word become flesh. When he speaks the word, what happens? They become spirit. So where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. I'm telling you, we need to be the most liberated people on planet Earth, the Christians. Wherever we go, we bring the spirit of liberty. So someone walks into a room where people are not with, you know, people that are sick, or sick people in bed. And who's seen that when you go to a hospital or some person sick, you speak a word and suddenly things change. Because the word now is becoming flesh, but there's spirit on it. Suddenly you speak a word and the atmosphere changes. I mean, I've seen people, they come and they, and it's for some reason when you go to the licensing department and you have to wait there. I had to go there a few times, my daughter doing her learners. And then you wait and you sit in those chairs and you move up and you move up. You know all of that? Yes, yes. And I know all of you were formed like I was. But, and then you just hear this one. I wish you know this. And that thing washes you. And then as soon as you actually say something like, hey man, wow, you know, this is actually going faster than usual. Or you actually speak something, your words carry spirit. The atmosphere changes. Amen. We are agents of change. And we need to be renewed in our minds because we agree too much with the wrong things. All right, so yeah, we have this atmosphere changes and that. Why? Because people have become aware of another world. People become aware of another world. That's actually why things change. When you speak hope, when you speak solutions. Do you know what? Do you think the government has solutions? Well, the church needs to stop criticizing and start praying not against but for the government. Because the church has answers. And when we speak that, there's another world that comes into the situation. All right? So, we actually have the privilege of actually releasing that world into this world. Because our words are spirit and life. Amen? Don't know if you hear that online. There's a thundering outside. Some heard thundering, some heard angels, some heard the voice of God. Amen. All right. So what I wanted just to do in that, I'm going to just land you because I'm going to go just into a new section. And I'll carry on with it next week. But again, I just want to end off with this and saying that Jesus has given us power and he's given us authority. Jesus has also has an assignment or a commissioning that he's given us. The assignment is to declare the kingdom of God is in reach. It's here. All right? And as soon as Jesus spoke what the Father is saying, guess what? There's so many options now made available. And when we're going to speak the kingdom in our situations, there's options available. When someone has said, you are sick, this is it. But when you come in and you speak, hey man, but Jesus wants to heal you. There's other options available to the sick person. That's how the kingdom works. Well, we don't have food. Well, hey, let's just pray over the food. There's new options that open up. That's how the kingdom works. And I want to leave you with this, that there is hope. When we live the kingdom out in your life, in your workplace, in your family, there's more options that become available when the kingdom starts breaking out with you. That's why we hear the testimonies of what God's busy doing right now, even through our lives. All right? So, Authority comes with the commission. Power comes from the encounter with Holy Spirit. And if you're wondering why you don't have this authority, make sure you are busy with the commission. And the commission where you're assigned to. If you're in other churches, you're busy with that assignment, the commission, you have authority. That's why it has nothing to do with numbers of people in a church. It has to do with being faithful to the assignment. There's an authority we have. Make sure you're under authority. Even in a local church, that you're under, that you are honoring, and you're under that authority. Is there manipulation and control things that happen in churches? Yes, it happens. But don't run away from what the word says. Don't overreact with stuff. Amen. Because we have something to finish. We have a work to finish on planet Earth. All right, I want to pray for you. You can stand. So thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you would just confirm this word, even this morning, about what you're busy doing, even that prophetic word earlier on. And Father, I want to pray that as we'll continue next week with to understand about what does it mean to be commissioned, what does it mean to have authority, what does it mean to have power, because we have an assignment. There's something you've put us on planet Earth for, and that is relationship with you, but it's also to transform this world to make it look like that world. Give us the grace just to fulfill this, and that we would run in the lane you've called us to run in, and that we'd see your kingdom come, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.